Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to Facing Your Fears with evangelist Norma Chef and Pastor Doris Smith. The host of Facing Your Fears on Blog Talk Radio is evangelist Norma Chapman. Ms. Chapman has interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can and currently writing three other books. She studied and attended Union Baptist Theological College of New Orleans. She's also an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr. Sits on the NAACP Executive Committee and formerly a member of SDLC Justice for Girls. Pastor Doris Smith, co-host. Pastor Smith retired after 29 years of service in the government from the position of procurement contracting supervisor. She's a pastor, a teacher, an author, a certified professional speaker, a life and inspirational coach, and the host of the Power Hour, Light of Inspiration and Motivation. A caregiver, a beautiful wife, a wonderful mother, a grandmother, and just an all-around people person. And now it's time for Facing Your Fears with evangelist Norma Chapman, with her co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good evening.
Yes,
you are now tuned in to Facing Your Fears radio talk show hosted by yours truly, evangelist Dr. Norma Chapman, with our awesome co-host, Apostle Doris Smith out of Miami, Florida, and evangelist Jerry Perkins out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. As always, let us bow our heads for our opening prayer, and our co-host out of Baton Rouge, evangelist Perkins, bring our opening prayer for today.
Father God, we come in the name of Jesus once again, so grateful, dear God, to be on the talk show. And Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to have our listeners on with us today. And we realize this morning, Heavenly Father, that it's you that brought us this far by faith. And we lean in, trusting, and depending upon you, that our listeners will get something out of the service today. Thank you so much, dear God, for enabling us to be here one more time. In the name of Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen.
Amen. All right, listeners, our topic for today is pain, suffering, and sorrows, and we'll be coming from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 5 through 8. And remember, listeners, you too can join in on this awesome topic on today just by pressing that number one on your phone. If you have any questions, comments, I just want to share your thoughts on today's topic. Yesterday's topic, we'll be talking about pain, suffering, and sorrow. And we as people today, we should never complain about what we go through when we have, when sorrow comes. When pain affects our bodies, when sorrow comes into our life, when we look at all the pain and suffering and sorrows our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went through as he suffered for the sins of the world, our sins, your sins, and my sins. In the book, in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 5 through 8 says, "But he was wounded for transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Jesus suffered and died all because of God's love for us. Stay tuned as we continue this awesome topic on today. We will be discussing, and we also will be discussing how important it is for us to realize and understand about this important holiday that's coming up, the holiday that they call, that we set aside and we call Easter, the Resurrection Day, why we should remember the reason for the season, not just to dress up in beautiful pastel colors or have Easter egg hunts, gathering together to laugh and have a good time with our family and friends. We should be praising God and thanking him for sending his only begotten son into the world to save sinners such as ourselves. As we go forward with our topic on today, if you have your Bibles, please open it to the chapter, the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, and verses 5 through 8. as our co-host, Apostle Doris Smith, will read those scriptures, and then we will start emphasizing on the lesson for today shortly after she read the scriptures and she emphasized shortly on the topic. And we will be turning it over to our beautiful co-host out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, none other than Apostle Evangelist Jerry Perkins, and hear them as they come forth with our lesson on today, co-host.
Thank God. We are so excited today, giving God all the honor, giving him all the glory, giving him all the praise. We are so thankful, praise God, for this amazing, awesome topic today, talking about suffering, pain, and sorrow. And as Evangelist Dr. Chapman, God bless you, woman of God, such an amazing visionary whom God has given this vision to for Facing Your Fears radio talk show, our amazing Evangelist Perkins, co-host. This is such an awesome, praise God, topic that we are discussing today, praise God, talking about suffering and pain. Many a times we as people, praise God, don't want to go through no suffering. We don't want to go through no pain. But when we look in Isaiah 53 today, praise God, we look at what the scriptures say. He says he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced. In other words, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Praise God. We have to understand that suffering does not have to be the end of your story. If you understand it, it's not God's desire that we are hurt. It's not his desire that we are broken. But the bad things that happen to us are a result of a hurting. That's what we have to understand. It's the result of a hurting and broken world that began over 2,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. But God, he promises us hope. And we have to hold on to the promises that God made. He promised us hope and deeply desires a relationship with us. So as we look at the situations of the world today, we can't allow the cares of this world to suppress and oppress us and get into that place of forgetting the amazing, awesome God that laid his life down for us. No greater love, nowhere, no way, no how. There is no greater love than the love that he has shown for us. We understand why these sufferings. He explains clearly why he suffered for you. He never knew sin for me. He never knew sin. He bore my sins for you. He bore your sins. Innocent blood for all of us who have trust, he'll trust God as Savior. These words can pierce our hearts when we think about pain, when we think about suffering, when we think about sorrows, losing of loved ones, things that happen tragically. As we begin to understand that the sinless Son of God, look at what he did. He was willingly afflicted. Come on now. He was willingly afflicted, bruised, pierced, and crushed with wounds that we merit, dying a death that I deserve. My God, you deserve. As the burden of what? Our sin. Because it was laid upon a sinless servant, the sinless Son of Man, our kinsman redeemer. The Lord Jesus suffered a cruel treatment. When you just pause and think about that story for a moment, as we're headed into Passion Sunday, as we're headed into Good Friday, as we're headed into Resurrection Sunday, the Lord Jesus gave up his life willingly so that all who believe, just believe on him, might not perish, but be given peace with God and have a chance for what? Eternal life. and have his inner peace guarding what? Our heart. For it's by his stripes. His stripes. 40 less one, 39 stripes he took. It was by his stripes that we are healed. Not a healing of the body, but an everlasting healing of the spirit and the forgiveness of sin. So we think of this topic today. Let us think about Jesus as sharing in Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5. Let us think about that. By his death and resurrection, the Lord Jesus paid the enormous price for our sin and broke the power of sin and death in our life forever. And we can look forward to one day being with him in eternity. God bless you as I yield back to
Amen, amen. I just want to take the time out and thank all of our apostle, evangelist Jerry Perkins for all of the listeners that's tuned in on today. I'm looking at our dashboard, and I know she'll be happy to know that so many of her followers and her listeners are tuning in with us on today as every week. I want to thank you all for tuning in and listening, and it's a pleasure
Amen.
To have you listening to the show every week. I just wanted to extend that gratitude of thanks to all of her listeners on today. For this, she has many listeners that's tuned in looking at our dashboard on today. And we're going to bring her forward in just a minute. And we just wanted to tell you that press that number one on your phone if you want to say hello to her, encourage her in any way on today, any Thursday that you're tuned in with us. Just press that number one, and you will be brought into the studio to share the word of God with Evangelist Perkins and our awesome host, co-host as well, out of Miami, Florida, none other than Apostle Doris Smith. And I just want to extend that welcome to her listeners, because every week I look at the dashboard, and thank you for your comments that you have put on Facebook in reference to our awesome co-host out of Baton Rouge. And I'm not going to prolong. I'm just going to yield right here and bring her right on in to the studio, none other than our beloved co-host, Evangelist Jerry Perkins. And this evangelist, if you would just read that verses six and seven of our lesson on today, and then you can emphasize on that, and then I will be back after Evangelist Perkins. God bless you, Evangelist Perkins.
Okay, God bless you too, and I would like to thank all of the listeners for joining in. All right, tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7 tells us he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb in the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Listeners, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. He is our peace. 2:14, Christ was in pain that we might be at ease, knowing that through him our sins are forgiven us. By this we have healing, for by his wounds we are healed. Sin is not only a crime for which we were condemned to die, but it is a disease which tends directly to the death of our souls, and for which Christ provided the cure. By his wounds, he purchased us for the spirit and grace of God to subdue our corruption or the disease of our souls, and to put our souls in a good state of health that may be fit to serve God. The dimension of sin is broken in us, and we are forfeited against that which feeds the disease. Every particular person stands charged with many extra transgressions. We have gone astray like sheep, which are apt to wander and are unapt to find the way home again. That is our true character. We are bent to backslide from God, but altogether unable of ourselves to return to him, side everyone to his own, and thus set up your own will in competition with God and his will, which is the malignity of sin. Our sins are our sorrows and our infirmities. Our Lord Jesus was appointed and did undertake to make satisfaction for our sins. For the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The laying of our sin on Christ implies the latter of them away from us. We shall not fall under the curse of the law, and we submit to the grace of the gospel. They were led on Christ when he was made sin of our suffering for us. Isaiah 53:7 says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth, not much as to suffer and die for us. This takes away the scandal of the cross, that he voluntarily submitted to it. By his wisdom, he could have evaded the sentence, and by his power have resisted the execution. But this is what is written: the Christ will suffer. This commandment he received from his Father, and therefore he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is silent, before the butcher. So he did not open his mouth, which denotes his cheerful compliance with his Father's will. By this, we are sanctified, his making his own soul, his own life, and offering for our sin. Having undertaken our debt, underwent the penalty. He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Christ bore our sins and bore our infirmities away from us, that we should never be oppressed above measure. He was pierced by our transgression. Our sins was the thorn in his head, the nails in his hands and feet, the spears in his side. He was crushed for our iniquities. They were the procuring cause of his death. Now I will turn it back over to the host.
God bless you. God bless you. I truly enjoy my co-host, both of my co-hosts, Apostle out of Florida, as well as our co-host, Evangelist out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and as they so beautifully, as my co-host would always say, explained and emphasized on our lesson for today. But turn with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Peter, and we're going to read 1 Peter, and starting at the second chapter of 1 Peter, and we're going to start there at the 23rd verse of 1 Peter, the second chapter, and starting at the 23rd verse, which reads, "Who, when he will revail not again when he suffered. He threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. 24th verse reads, who his own self bared our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, shall live unto righteousness. But whose stripes, by whom we are healed. We should be overexcited on today. We should be giving God the glory on today. We should thank God for sending his only begotten Son. Easter Sunday approaches, and that's the day we lay aside, and that we give honor to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As this Holy Week approaches us, let us remember the reason for the season. Let us know why it's so important for us to look back on that old rugged cross. Look back at Calvary for Jesus coming into the world, being born into the world, that he suffered, called all, and was whipped all night long. And the way the story reads it, and those of you who actually seen the movie, that wasn't actually, there was just only given a demonstration of how our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, flesh was pulled from his body using the weapon that they used, the tool that they used to whip him with, rip his skin from his body. And it was so beautifully, those who seen the story, I can't think of the name of it, but it's about the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's just a motion picture. Just think that person that's in that movie was acting, but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wasn't a motion picture. It wasn't an acting situation. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ actually went through that pain and that suffering. His flesh actually was torn from his body. And let's be reminded today that all that he went through, he felt it. That's one of the reasons when he was in the garden, he said, if thou would take this cup from me, but nevertheless, if it's your will, then let it be done. He knew what he had to go through. He knew the pain he had to. He was God. He knew everything that was going to happen to him. It wasn't going to be anything that was good. And they hated him. Why? Because of righteousness. And as the verse so beautifully explained to us, all of the suffering and pain and sorrows that our Lord and Jesus Christ bared and went through was all because for us, that we may be sin, he bared our sin upon him, that we may have a right to the tree of life, that we may stand for righteousness today. You know, think about it. You know, a lot of people don't like to give right where right is. And then I don't care who it is, whether it's your child, your husband, your wife, your pastor, whoever, your teacher, whoever your leaders. If they're wrong, we're supposed to stand for righteousness. We're not supposed to. The song my father used to sing, they'll never give up the right to please the wrong. Because if you do, we're going to pay for it at the end of the line. So keep this in mind. When we attempt, you know, nothing will separate me from the love of God. I will not turn back to where I've come from. And more I get into the word of God and I read the word of God, I have no reason to want to turn back. Who would want to turn back and start displeasing a God like our God? Who would want to turn back and disappoint the God that saved us or saved our souls today? And whenever sorrow comes into our life, when our body be racking in pain and suffering comes, because it do, you have pain, you may have not been real sick on a bed of affliction, but if you ever had a toothache, that's painful. If you're suffering with arthritis, that's painful. If you just made a mistake and burnt yourself with fire or pot from your from cooking, that's painful. Suffering, yes, we suffer. We suffer through pandemic. We don't have to be on a bed of affliction to suffer, but suffering has been a part of all of our lives. We suffer during the pandemic, some suffering with paying bills. They're struggling with all type of issues. They're trying to overcome some, is suffering trying to overcome addictions and trying to pray for their family. They're suffering for their sons and their daughters who's on drugs. They're in pain and they're suffering in sorrows. And then when death comes our way, which is no stranger to none of us, sorrow, but yet we must remember Jesus died. He suffered and he died. The only difference is our relatives are not, our loved ones are not God, but they will rise one day. Yes, they will rise one day. They didn't resurrect from the dead and come back and could talk to us like Jesus came back and talked with his disciples. But we would all, that the ones that die in Christ, if we die in Christ, we shall rise on the day of resurrection to go back to be with God. So everything that Jesus went through, we are going to go through it. Did he not tell us this in his word? He said, but when the world hates you, don't worry about it. He said, because we will learn to overcome, because he overcame the world. Pain and suffering and sorrows, we can look to the hills on today, which cometh by our help. We know that all of our help comes from God. There's nothing on this earth that we go through that our Heavenly Father do not understand. He will help us to carry the load. He'll be there when we need him. He may not come when we want him, but we can all testify that he will be just, he'll be just in time. And I'm going to yield back to our co-host is on today. And co-host, I ask that you carry the show on out and be courteous from one another to yield and let each other come in and let them emphasize the way the Holy Spirit is leading them. And I'll be back just before the closing of the show. We will start back out with our co-host, Apostle Doris Smith, and then she would yield and we would bring our co-host, Evangelist Perkins, out of Baton Rouge. And that's the way the show would go until I come back, and that would be the end of the show. God bless you, co-host.
God bless you, Dr. Chapman. God bless all our amazing listeners. I'm so thankful, praise God, and enjoying sharing with the co-host, Evangelist Perkins. Listeners, we just want you to know that you can join in to this awesome conversation today by pressing that number one and chiming in, praise God. We're so grateful for the topic. It's such a needed topic and so profound that this topic is going forth in this season and great timing. The scripture in the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Now, if that's not a bold statement of how much someone loves you, I don't know what is. But God made Christ, who never. We constantly talk about, well, I'm not guilty of that, and I'm not guilty of that, and I didn't do that. I'm not taking responsibility for that. I didn't do that. Thank God he didn't feel like that. And, of course, he was purposed. He was the only one qualified to lay down his life. He was the only one that qualified to shed that innocent blood. He was made, God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering, to be the one that will pay the price for your sin and mine, so that we had to be made right through his blood. And that blood that he shed is still shed and still here, all powerful here today. The blood has never lost its power. It never has. And it never will. That same blood, when we fall, when we make mistakes, praise God, we could still go and repent, godly sorry, turning from our way, turning back to the Lord, and the blood cleansed us. We look back on that. If we just take a moment and pause and think back to approximately 2,000 plus years ago and think about excruciating pain. Jesus went through excruciating pain. Think about that word for a moment. It doesn't sound so good to me. By the way, the word excruciating, when you think about it, that word is derived from the word crucify, which goes into depth to tell you how this really felt. He wasn't, as Dr. Chapman so well said a minute or so ago, he wasn't acting. There was no acting about the cat of nine tails that ripped flesh and shook bone from his body. There was no acting about the crown that was pressed down and the thorns broke through his skull, uproot blood and flesh. There was no acting about him being pierced in his side. There was no acting about the nails in his hand. There was none. That was not an act. That was the real. That was the real. A lot of times we look at the word, so what's so good about Friday? Well, let me say it plainly to you. Good Friday was not good for Jesus. It was the toughest decision he ever had to make, but it was sure enough good for you and I. It was good for us. In the word of God in Luke 22:41-44, it lets us know where he spoke within these verses to say, nevertheless, look at this cup that's before me. Look at the cup that I got to drink out of. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He had to die. He had to lay down his life and give it up for you and I. I want to pause a moment, and I'm going to yield back to Evangelist Perkins. God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you, Apostle Smith. I'm really enjoying this, and I can even feel the Holy Spirit of how much Christ loved us. And Isaiah 53:8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. On him that should have been upon us. The consequences of this to Christ was his resurrection. For being delivered for our offenses, he was raised again for our justification. He rose to die no more. Death had no more dominion over him. He who was dead is alive and lives forevermore. And that tells me that he came all the way from heaven, all the way to the cross, died on Calvary Hill, that we might have another chance at the tree of life. And many times I hear people say, for by his stripes I am healed. No matter whether it's diabetes, high blood pressure, no matter if it's cancer or whatever, I hear many times by his stripes I am healed. But my sisters and my brothers, I say to you, by his stripes, he died on Calvary Hill, that we might have another chance at the tree of life. That's why he traveled from heaven all the way to the cross, that we might be able to live again. All sickness is not unto death. But he did not promise us that we was not going to be sick. And he did not promise us that all of us were healed. I've seen many and I've heard many. I'm healed by his stripes, but still are gone home. My sisters and my brothers, Jesus died that we might be able to live again. And once we accept him, we accept in pain, suffering, and sorrow, going through what he went through. But still, we must keep in mind that he died for eternal life, that we may someday go back home with him. Now, I hope that the listeners have gotten some out of this lesson that we've had today. But know that we need to give God and be grateful all in all, and let him know that we love him, we care about him, and we appreciate everything that he has done for us, and that we are willing to do his will, that someday we may gain eternal life. I turn it back over to the co-host.
No, the host is going
Apostle
to take over.
Smith. Thank you.
Yeah, the host is going to come in just for a few minutes. I want to just do something here, and I know that my co-host, both of them wasn't prepared to do this. But let us talk a little bit about the seventh band. Next week we'll be coming with the seventh band. We're going to divide them between the three of us, and we're going to talk. But the seventh band is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then said Jesus, this is what Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not. That's the first thing that came out of Jesus' mouth. But we hate to forgive people that wrong us today. You know, and look at all that they did here. And even after mocking him around the cross and the things, the terrible things that they did, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the second saying was, today shall thou be with me in paradise. And then the third one is, woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother. Which one of my co-hosts is up prepared to talk on one of these seven sayings today? Oh, which one of you all, and I don't care which one you talk on, but I want us to talk about those seven words, the seven last words that Jesus spoke from the cross. And if you want to do Matthew's, you know, each one of them is in the Luke 23 to 34. And as today shall be with me in paradise, and then what? And then you can talk about the first one was coming from Matthew 27:46. Or you can do I thirst, or you can do it finished. But we don't want to do it finished. We're going to do that next week. We're going to start today with the seven sayings, and we're going to begin. And I know I caught you all by surprise, but we got to be ready at all times, because you never know what the Holy Spirit is going to tell us to do and where the Holy Spirit is going to lead us. So we're going to start with the Apostle Smith, and she's going to, not alone, we don't have that much time to do the whole thing. We're just going to elaborate just a little bit on, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then she's going to elaborate on, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Those are the two you're going to do.
Dr. Chapman, if it's okay, it's so strange that you brought this up, but I did prepare for this, and the one that I did prepare for that the Lord touched my heart was exactly that. It is finished, out of Luke 23:46.
Okay, but if you want to do it, it's finished, that's fine, and then Evangelist Perkins, you can choose what she's going to talk about. And then I'll do one, and then we'll continue the seven sins on next week, so you all be prepared for next week, okay? You can do
yes,
our
Yes, I am prepared for it.
Go
Praise
forward
God.
With it.
I love the seven sins. I love that. Praise God. Father, forgive me, for they don't know not what they've done. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he said, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Then he said, woman, behold thy son.
at this time, praise God, his mother is standing there. He knows who to leave her in the arms of, whose arms are safe, who has that relationship with God, who he don't have to worry about her being safe in the midst. My God, thou, why, how has thou forsaken me? And then he said, I thirst, and he came to its finish. And, of course, when it, after the finish, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But I thank God because it is finished. This is something that, just during this season that just penetrated my heart in thought as I meditate during this very holy week that we go through. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and handed over the spirit. That was the seven words. Jesus cried out into that loud voice and he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, letting us know it's finished. Everything that we need, everything that we desire, everything that's necessary, it's finished. There's nothing else that has to be done. It's all finished. He finished the work right there. So everything we, all we're doing really in a sense is waiting on the manifestation of what has already been done. He completed it. He finished it. Our healing is finished. Our deliverance is finished. Everything we need, God has already finished it. There is nothing that we got to wait on to have for it to be finished. God has already finished it. God bless you.
All right, all right. As Evangelist Perkins get ready to do her 7:10, I'm just going to go on and speak a little bit about woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. Evangelist Perkins, you would find would be one of the seven sayings in Luke. You can do I'm sorry, listeners, that we have to do this, but she wasn't prepared, so we're gonna let her do the Luke. She got me a little confused because I got to go and look for
Luke
something.
Luke 19:26.
Evangelist Perkins. If not, I'll go forward as she began to do hers, okay?
Well, John 19 and 30, we just did that.
Is that Ms. Perkins?
Yes, ma'am.
Are, she still, are you prepared to go forth or you want me to go forward?
You can go forward.
Okay, I'll be doing Mother, Behold Thy Son, and Son, Behold Thy Mother. It's just very shortly, I just want to demonstrate the love that Jesus had for his mother. Here he's showing compassion. He's showing compassion for his mother. And he knows that he's about to leave here, and he has to leave his mother in the hands of someone that he had entrusted in it, to know that his mother will be taken care of in her old age. And John was the type of person that always showed compassion out of all of the disciples. John took care of his parents. And John was the person that, one disciple that showed compassion and showed love. So, and this is the purpose why John was around the cross. And when he said, Mother, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother, he was giving his mother to John for John to be her son. And when he said, son, behold thy mother, he was giving his mama to John as a mother. And he knew that he didn't have to worry about his mother. He's getting ready to leave her now. And he didn't have to worry about his mother not being taken care of in his old age. Each one of those sayings you would see that he had compassion two times on the cross. And that was one of the times that he had compassion. He showed he came back. He was like in the form of in the flesh, in other words, because he showed love and compassion, looked down at his mother. And he began to think about his mother, him leaving his mother, and he's going away to his mother never to see him again. He wouldn't be here to take care of her in her old age. He couldn't be here to do the things that a son would be able to do for their mother. So he looked down at John and he told John, John, now you take this responsibility. Because I have to leave, I have to think of my mom right here. You know, she's around the cross, and I'm more sure she was in pain, she was suffering, she was in sorrow, and he had to make sure that his mother was being taken care of in at the time that he was about to leave here. And when she got old and couldn't do for herself, he had given her over to turn over to John. Now, we have to realize there was three Marys around the cross on that day. It was Jesus' mother's mother's sister, Jesus, the mother of Zebedee. She was the son of Zebedee. She was around the cross as well. And then we had the wife of Cephas, with the mother and Mary, the mother of James and Jonas. She was around the cross as well. The Mary, the mother of James, and the younger of George. And then we had Mary Magdalene around the cross. So there was four Marys around the cross, Jesus' mother and the other Marys we were talking about. So when he...
Amen.
So the reason why
Virgin Mary, Magdalene, and Mary Magdalene.
Yes. So the reason why Mary Magdalene, was that each one of them was a purpose of them being around the cross. Like when God does things in our lives today, there's a reason for it, okay? There's a reason for it. The disciple who Jesus loved was John, one of the three disciples closest to him. He's the only male disciple who was at the foot of the cross as Jesus was dying. And out of all the pain that Jesus was in, all the suffering that Jesus was in, he had compassion for his mom. He said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son," and the disciples, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple John took his mother. From that moment on, he took her home and he began to take care of her. Now, I'm not going to elaborate anymore. We'll come back next and we will do all seven of the things. We'll be more prepared. Evangelist Perkins, are you prepared to go forward now? Perkins. Are you prepared to go forward? If not,
No, ma'am.
You're not prepared to do one of the things. Okay, Apostle, you can go forward, and then we will let her just emphasize on what we just said, whatever way the Spirit directs her. She can just come back in and emphasize on whatever she wants to talk about, okay? Go ahead, Evangelist, Apostle, as I get one ready for Evangelist. Apostle, you can go forward now. Apostle Smith, studio with us. Is Apostle Smith still in the studio with us? Okay, Evangelist Perkins, you can, she just did, it's finished. You can go to the book of Luke 23, verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 34. And as she's preparing for that, listeners, we'll just summarize all of this up next week. They wasn't prepared to do this. I apologize, but I just wanted us to come and do a little bit on the seven things and see how important it is for us to know why those seven things were said at the cross. There was a reason for each one of these seven things at the cross. Evangelist Perkins, when you get the scripture, please let me know so we can move forward.
Okay, Luke. What said Luke? What was it, Luke? What?
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It would be Luke chapter 23, verse 34.
Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So I believe Jesus was also telling us to forgive one another. because he was down on the cross and he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so if anyone is not in Christ and there's a problem with they forgiving you, it's because there is no way that you can be following Christ and not forgive your sister or your brother, because he meant for us to forgive one another. And there is nothing, so serious that we can not forgive one another. When Jesus died on Calvary Hill, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when someone has harmed us, we would take years and years and not forgive them. But we should forgive them right then and there, because he said so, because he did it. There's no way that we can follow Jesus and not do what he say do and say that we are child of God. In order to be a child of God, we must follow Jesus, do his will as he say do. In order to be child, we must show one another that they see the light in us that we are a child of God. Thank you.
God bless you. Apostle Smith, are you in the studio? Okay, if she's not in the studio, listeners, what we're going to do, we're just going to go and talk about a little bit about these seven sins on the cross. And they're very important things. And each thing that Jesus said as he hung there on the cross before he committed his spirit and he hung his head and he died, everything that he said was a meaning for it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Teaches us about forgiveness, how Jesus forgave until the very end. And you must really love, have to have love in your heart to forgive people when they misuse you, abuse you, and say all kind of manner of evil against you. And then the second thing is that this day, you will be with me in paradise. He was talking to the two thieves that was hung on the side next to him. And one of them that said, well, look, if you're the Son of God, why don't you save yourself and then save us too? And then the other thief told him, say, you know, this man has done nothing. Leave him alone. We deserve our punishment. But this man has done nothing. And he said, Father, he looked at him and said, Father, forgive me. Father, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And right then and there, Jesus looked at him, and Jesus told him, today, this day, not tomorrow, but this day you shall be with me in paradise. Now, a lot of people talk about that second saying. Did he go to heaven that day? Or did Jesus promise him when the time comes he would be with him in paradise? What was Jesus saying? Did he die and go to heaven that day? And that answer would be no, because he would have to be resurrected on the day of resurrection, when we all, the day of rapture, when we all rise. But he did die in Christ that day, which means that he was promised to be in paradise. God had confirmed that he was saved, his soul was preserved to be in heaven with him. And then the third saying we find here is, woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother, which I talked about already. My God is the fourth. Why have you forsaken me? Jesus was talking directly to his Father then. That's the second time he came into the flesh. You see, the first time I told you when he was talking about, Mother, behold thy son, he had compassion. He had compassion. And then he was in the flesh because he showed concern and love for his mother. That is the second time he had concern when he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? He was in pain, and he looked up, he was talking directly to his Father. Seems as if Joseph would say that Jesus must have thought that God had forsaken him.
But God, his father had not forsaken him. It's just that when he felt all alone there, you know, God cannot look upon sin. His son was carrying the whole world. All the sins of the world was his son carrying it. And God cannot look at his sin stinks in his nostrils. So he could not look at his son at that time. And it seemed that Jesus must have felt all alone, but he never left him. It's just that he couldn't look upon sin, all the sins of the world, because it stinks in God's nostrils. We don't have time to elaborate on it any further. And then the fifth was I thirst. I thirst was when he asked the soldiers, he told the soldiers that it was around the cross that and they were gambling for his robe. His robe was a laurel robe. It was worth a lot. It was one of the expensive robes that the king had put on him. So you want to be a king here, put a robe on him. That's when they put them thorns around his head. He cried out, I thirst. So when he cried out, I thirst, they put the stick that was wrapped with cloth, a sponge, and they dipped it in vinegar, and they dipped it around his mouth. And you know, with all of the wounds and the scars, you know, if you punch yourself in the mouth right now, you have a bruise, and it's an open wound there, and you put vinegar there, it's going to burn. So all of that, what they did, Jesus, we don't have time to go into that, or I thirst. But next week, we would elaborate on all seven of them. It's finished. Our co-host, Apostle Smith, went over that. Until thy hands I commit my spirit. We are not going to talk on that at all until next week, because that's the last saying that was on the cross. So at this time, I know our co-host is back in the studio with us, and we're going to ask her to bring us our closing prayer. But first, we do have a caller, and that call is from our code 504. And the last four digits is 2126. Our code 501-2126. And hello, caller, you're now in the studio.
God bless you, Evangelist Norma Chapman. It's just an honor to hear you on the radio, darling. You touch every soul that I've heard on the radio, and I know you're still touching souls. You come out with church all the time. I'm just excited to hear you, woman of God. Look like this ought to be on a television. Continue to do your work. God. Continue to labor. I enjoy you. God bless your heart. Your labor is not in vain. Evangelist King here. God bless you, darling.
God bless you, Evangelist King. And one of these days, listeners, I'm going to let y'all hear that beautiful voice with a song she's saying that I love to hear her sing. I want to help somebody. As I, you know, and I love when she sang that song, and I wanted to call back one Thursday, and I want her to sing that song for our listeners. Beautiful, beautiful anointing. Beautiful woman of God. We like
God bless you.
Apostle Smith, Evangelist Perkins, you have to meet this mighty woman of God. And we've come to the end of our show for today. And we're going to Evangelist King, are you still with us in the studio at this time?
Yes, I am.
Can you close us out in our closing prayer, please?
Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we come meek and humble now. Thanking you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. Thank you for the woman of God, all those that participate. Thank you for the wisdom of God that you've given to her. I ask that you continue, oh God, to let her pour out of her spirit to the souls of many. Bless and touch, deliver, set the captives free. Let your word fall on good ground that it may bring forth. And God, we honor you. We praise you. We thank God for Jesus dying over 2,000 years ago. We love him on today. We honor, we praise him. Thank God for these last seven saints. God, I honor you today. Bless, oh God, continuously, Evangelist Norma Chapman, as we leave your presence, from this service, whenever your presence, in Jesus' name, thank God. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
To come and bring the word of God, an awesome woman of God. I want to thank our co-host out of Miami, Florida, none other than the Apostle Smith, our amazing, lovable co-host out of Baton Rouge, none other than Jerry Perkins. I want to thank all of our listeners on today for tuning in. We want to thank our guests for coming on, Evangelist, none other than Evangelist Susan King out
the first lady, the elected lady at Thessalonians Church of God in Christ, right here in the city of New Orleans, Louisiana. Listen to the end of our show. God bless you. Until next week, goodbye now.
Goodbye.